It's all creepy. There's not one which is more creepy than the other. They are equally, totally, and utterly creepy.
Yeah.
But at least my dad's my brother.
Right, we hot.
Happy Monday.
That was loud. Happy Monday.
That was loud and kind of caught me off guard.
He looked scared. He looked startled.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going.
Looked like I startled you.
Happy National Milk Day.
Oh.
Did you get your vitamin D and calcium and fat today?
I know you got your vitamin D.
It's also so I can't remember what else it also is. But tomorrow is National Kiss of Ginger Day. So if you know any, you said oh like you do.
No, I'm saying like, all right, this is boring.
So if you know a ginger, tomorrow, the 12th of January, the year of our Lord 2021, give him a little kiss.
All right. Matt's starting off the podcast with a snooze fest.
Yeah.
So if we haven't lost you yet, let's get jumping to this whiskey. We got Stranahan's Colorado whiskey.
Yeah, Colorado
Going
straight
back to
whiskey.
our roots, our home state of Colorado. What did you learn about this whiskey?
I learned that smells like your mom's house,
Does smell like my mom's house that is in Colorado.
which means it smells of pine and pinyon,
Pine, pinyon,
cedar,
elk.
quakey,
I smell some elk fir.
just naming trees,
Quakey, otherwise known as aspen trees, too.
aspen trees.
You Easterners.
It's
Easterners.
aspen to us, quakey to somebody else, right?
My grandpa calls it Quakey trees.
Well, then he should probably have to, but he's
He's from
from
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
But I've been in Colorado for 50 years, so
Way
60
longer
years.
than 50
Yeah,
years.
yeah.
But in the house, you guys called them aspen trees growing up, right?
Quakey trees.
Oh, you guys really did?
Yeah, I think my dad calls them Quakey trees.
We went 50-50 on it. I don't know why. Some days they were aspen trees, some days they
Yeah, I
were.
call them aspens, but everybody else around me called them
Well,
Quakey.
this is a single malt. It's Blue Peak. Sent to me by my brother-in-law, so
Your
thank you,
brother-in-law,
brother.
the one you like or don't like.
I have like 18 brother-in-laws, and yeah, it's the one I like.
And this is one of the Ryans, the
No,
Ryan that you like.
it's not a Ryan.
Oh, it's not even one of the Ryans. Okay.
It's Don, and I love him.
Oh,
And
yeah, from Colorado.
yeah.
Duh. What up, Don?
Why'd you get gangster with it?
Yo, Don, what up?
So I really appreciate him sending it to us.
Thank you very much.
It's
I
a
agree.
Colorado whiskey.
Now, you don't like him either, right?
No, that's not true.
Okay. Why are you winking?
I like him a lot. He sent us whiskey. He actually brought us this whiskey, forgot to leave it, went back home and mailed it.
Was this the one that you said you could see yourself in a relationship with if it wasn't for your sister?
Yeah, if he wasn't 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
It's not his gender. It's not that he's married to my sister. It's that he's 20 years
It's
older.
age. You're
I'm
ageist.
an ageist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not as young as he used to be.
I heard a question. I was listening to another podcast, and somebody brought up if would it suck if your wife had a smoking hot sister?
Okay.
That's it.
That's the whole question. Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. They were saying it would be terrible.
You have a smoking hot sister, and that doesn't bother me. No, it wouldn't bother me. It'd just be because of like temptation, I guess, or just
Yeah,
like,
think temptation,
yeah,
like just always fantasizing about the sister.
yeah, it makes you weird.
Well,
right off the top, no matter
both
how.
of it was two bears, one cave, and they're both like, "Yeah, that'd be terrible." A
God,
couple of horn balls.
I guess. Does that mean we're losing testosterone that I don't care?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, with all the alcohol you drink, probably
Yeah,
your
well.
estrogen levels are that of a woman in her prime.
Yeah, I was gonna say, a
Yeah.
28-year-old woman
Yep.
rocking that estrogen. Single malt, Blue Peak. Do you want to know the process and profile?
I do, and I want to say I've already tasted it and I enjoy it.
That's a good start.
It's smooth as silk.
smooth as
buttery
leaf of an aspen tree.
Yeah, break it down real quick. This is where I'll zone out. We're all zone out.
Okay. You want me to tell you when we're done?
Yeah.
It is an American single malt distilled in high altitude. Higher than a mile high, Josh. Higher than a mile above sea level. It's aged in new American oak. New American oak, so not charred oak. And it has a Solera finish, meaning that they, it's like what a lot of wines do. So periodically, they bring in a different year whiskey of the same the same making. I'm laughing because Josh doesn't even look at it anymore. He's gone. Do you want to know about the rest about the process? Or are you satisfied?
If you find this interesting, continue. That means probably one of our listeners also finds it interesting.
So it's a Solera finish. It has a maturation process that is typically used in wine, obviously.
A masturbation process?
And it results in a rich and mellow whiskey.
It is rich and mellow. I heard the last part.
Has a toasted flavor. Which doesn't make sense if it's in a new American barrel.
Yeah, which is
where does the toasted flavor come from?
Where's the toast?
Get your shit together. Make up your mind. Yeah, that's it.
You know how many times a day I zone out like that when people are talking to me?
Every conversation.
Almost every conversation.
That's not about
you. And I'll kind of look at them like, but everything is just soaring right past me.
Do you catch any of it?
No. Sometimes I'll finish like a 3-minute conversation and no, I have no idea what the person just talked to me about. That happens all the time.
That just happened to me right now with you. What were you saying again?
It doesn't matter.
It happens to me all the time, too. The problem is in our industry, we get talked at a lot.
That's probably why I just zone out.
I guess.
Maybe I pick up keywords.
I think that's all you have to do.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like shorthand. You know, those who were trained in shorthand back in the day, they don't write down... obviously an entire word, but they don't write down an entire sentence.
And it's like speed reading.
Speed
you
reading.
You only read a few of the words and skim past the rest of them.
I speed here.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that part of the problem with that is sometimes I make up my mind where the conversation's heading early on.
Yeah.
And so I'm already tracked to that level. Zone out. I'm gone.
Yep.
Come back to it in when you hear a key word that
indicates it's a different subject.
Not even, maybe even just time for you to talk.
Yeah, like a silence for longer than it should be. And somehow you kind of catch it. That happens to me sometimes.
No, you're better at it than that.
Well, all I know is I zone out a lot. And it hasn't seemed to have negatively affected me yet.
I think it's probably a fairly new phenomenon for you. But I've been mastering my craft at this for decades. We were with Who Gives a Dram the other night, and I have to re-listen to the podcast just to hear anything that he said, because I was not listening to him.
Yeah, I didn't hear what either of you said for 85% of the conversation.
No wonder everything you say makes no sense.
Yep. It's all coming together now.
That's kind
of we're what you'd call good listeners.
That's got to be a phenomenon.
Active. Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about this before. I know we were drunk when you brought it up, but it's a thing that we do. And it gets me in trouble, not because of what you think, where it'll switch directions and I don't catch it. It'll get me in trouble because I've already predetermined what they're about to say and have an answer formulated in my head, or a retort formulated in my head, or an opinion. And then they go a different direction once I chime back in and whatever I thought isn't relevant and I'm being no part of the conversation at all.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times what you'll do, too, depending on who you're having the conversation with, is cut them off and make them get to the end.
Yeah, okay. I was shaking my head at you like, oh, that's not true. But I was thinking of a different scenario where I absolutely positively do that. Yeah, we had a thing in the Navy called be brief, be brilliant, be gone. Maybe that wasn't a thing in the Navy. Maybe that's a thing I use in the Navy, and I can just get away with it in the Navy, and I can't get away with it as a civilian. But I have been known to, while people are talking, say, stop. Just stop. Okay, I understand A, B, and C. What's D, E, and F? Go. And that's it. Probably got me in some trouble. Could you think of an example? Not a specific example, but obviously you had something in mind.
About that you did.
Yeah, you knew that's a thing. Do I do it to you?
No. You know better than that.
But it's a thing I do. Well, maybe because you speak coherently and aren't rambling and know the time and place to have a conversation.
It depends. If it's a new client, let's say, or somebody new we're working with, obviously you're going to be more patient and have more respect. If it's an employee, you'll definitely cut him off and have him get to the chase.
Whoa, what does that say about me? Because I don't even think that's good leadership. I'm saying that now, knowing that I do it from time to time. It's not just with employees.
It's a wake-up call, man.
To me? Or it's to them to get their ass together? I'm trying to track what you mean.
Take from it what you will. Who else do you do it with?
I've done it with clients.
But people that you've worked with for a fair amount of time. New business partners. You're not cutting them off. We'd never get new business.
I think that I'm probably just more tactful when I do it with new clients versus when I do it with clients who are solidified and have a certain level of trust with us. And you have that personal relationship that you can communicate in that way. And they know ultimately it's, at least I think it's for their own good. And you know what I mean? Like, I could see where they'd be like, no, that's for your own good. But I don't think so, because part of it is time management. And I think there's plenty of clients that we build a relationship with where they have a trust with us, where if I'm saying that, they know it's not me being a dick. They know that it's something that I'm doing in the,
saving time.
That's part of it.
Or time is money, baby.
Cutting out the nonsense. Mm-hmm. So there was that one client in Kentucky, and I don't want to throw it out, but I think you remember it. She had been a longtime client. We were in Kentucky, and one time it was a lady who was the representative, and I just told her, I said, this might be our last meeting, and this might be our last time doing business together, because you're saying all of this stuff when, God, how do I put it in the way that it went? I said, I'm calling bullshit. You haven't listened to the three key steps that we've laid out in clarity, with consistency, and been talking about for the last 3 years. And if you're not ready to follow those three steps the way that we see fit, then we're going to end the relationship because it's no longer useful to you.
There's the door, sister.
I didn't say it like that, but I said it in a very straightforward way.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't remember that, but all right.
It totally changed the whole dynamic. And I'm telling you, minutes after that, started getting results for her. Minutes. In a business where it doesn't happen in minutes. But when her mindset changed just to have trust or leave and knew those were the only options, she chose trust. That's not touting us or patting us in the back. But for her, in this instance, we laid out a plan that worked for her and those she represented.
Yeah.
And she's probably... She might be the biggest success story.
Yeah, I think she's dead now.
And I think it's important to... See, this is one of those examples. I wasn't going to listen to whatever you said. I was just going to keep going. She is not dead. But I think that's an... I completely lost my train of thought.
All right. I'm sure that the listeners are zoning out now of this conversation.
No, but it's pertinent.
It is? Why?
Yeah, it's pertinent in everyday life. I know what I was going to say. Of knowing... This is a big thing with management. Who you can communicate in what way. All right. There's got to be a TED Talk on this. Are you that bored?
Do I look bored?
You look real bored. Are you?
Yeah, this is kind of a boring conversation.
All right. Well, then let me wrap it up quick. There's got to be a TED Talk about how to communicate with certain... How you can communicate differently with each type of person. And I am not doing a... good job of expressing what I mean, other than I know I can talk to you one way, I know I can talk to Joe one way, I know I talk to Tom one way, and if I try to talk to you like I talk to Tom, it goes bad.
Oh, man, I hear you mention.
All right. Or Denise.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the four of you, and there's probably only Suzanne? Three or four types. That's just a no-go. Okay. There's probably three or four types. Only three or four types that you can have a certain conversation with. And those who are good at leading and good at management can pick that up in each individual to get the most out of that person. or work the best with that person, or whatever your goal is.
Yeah.
And that's not groundbreaking, and that's not earth-shattering. But until people get that in their head, and I have to constantly remind myself of, or until you figure out the quickest way to learn how it is that you can and should communicate with that person to open up the trust, then you're just spinning your wheels. And you're only ever going to be successful when you're dealing with one type of people. And as a business person, then your business is never going to be successful.
True, wise words. Find, as Matt said, find a TED talk on the subject.
There's got to be.
And right. If you want to hear more business from us, then email us, whiskeyphilosophypodcast@gmail.com, and say, hey, you need to change this to a business podcast. Whiskey ain't working for you guys.
We're here to help. That's not even whiskey philosophy. That's just good sound advice.
That's just about life. Sorry, I had a mouthful of cigar. Life lessons. Yeah. Speaking of cigars, we need to probably mention this. God damn it.
You just dropped that cigar wrapper right...
Right in the whiskey.
Right in the whiskey.
All right. What kind of cigar is this?
I'm waiting on you.
Did you not do any research on this cigar?
No, I never do anymore. Ever since you dogged my research on Rocket Patel, and the more I get it's boring out of it, the less I'm willing to. Maybe you should learn how to talk to me.
It worked. You haven't done that shit again. All right, well, we got a good cigar.
What is it?
Hold on. I don't have notes, but I did take a picture of...
Are you not even going to tell the people what it is?
Yeah, I'm about to, man. Okay, it's an EPC La Historia Cigar Aficionado rated 95. This was $10.50 from, I almost said Bass Pro Shop.
That's funny.
From Total Wine.
Now, does that mean that 95 out of 100 people who try it don't like it?
Yeah, I think that's their...
All right, well, we got a 95 idiots out there.
95 out of 100 idiots.
Yeah, because this is worthwhile. I don't think that you're engaged with this podcast and the conversation. I think that you're solely focused on getting a perfect burn.
I am really focused on this burn right now. I see these guys on Instagram with these 3-inch burns.
Those
I have,
man burns?
I have ash envy. The length.
Lotion will take care of that. There's nothing I can do for you with the length. Lotion will help with the ash.
Okay.
All right. As far as you having a tiny burn.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with all this.
Only God can help you with that, little man. What is 11th? How's your New Year's resolution going?
Did we talk about having a New Year's resolution?
No, but it's a new year. New resolution.
I didn't make any.
Do you ever? I never do.
I can't remember ever making one.
I'm sure that I have. I shouldn't say that I never do, but I haven't done in decades. I think they're a little bit silly. And that's not dogging people, that those that do. I just think a little bit differently. If you're really trying to make a change in your life, something that's going to be impactful, should be a little bit more goal-oriented, maybe a little bit more start with the end in mind, right? The Seven Habits would say, but something that you can track over... Okay, this year, I'm just coming up with this on the fly. This year, I'm going to drink more water. Okay, well, how much water should you drink? And then you calculate that out. 1,000 gallons by the end of the year, okay? So you're starting with the end in mind. And then you just do it monthly. So the first month, I want to have, you know, broken by 12, whatever that is, water. Uh-huh. And then that way you can see the progress. It seems a little bit more tangible, a little bit more quantitative. What? Are you talking to me at night at all?
I'm just laughing. It's like a self-help episode.
God, it got that way quick. Resolutions?
I think most people have more detailed resolutions. Then I'm just going to lose weight. I think people have plans nowadays.
I don't think so.
I don't think a lot of people are just like, I'm going to lose weight. I think
the resolution is something, if it's, it has to do with weight loss, something that's unattainable, like, I'm going to start going to the gym.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what does that mean? Or I'm going to stop eating candy.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. That's specific.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Just to say, yeah, something like I'm going to go to the gym isn't good. So, but I'm going to stop eating candy is a good one. I'm going to stop eating sugar.
Sugar would be a good one. Candy wouldn't, because then they're doing everything else that they're doing, getting as much sugar from everywhere
else. That's not saying that it's going to still be healthful, but...
Well, it won't, because the first month, nothing changes in their body or their health, and then they quit. Because, like, well, quitting candy didn't work.
I've heard a lot of people this year say things like they're going to run 1,000 miles, and I'm average this many miles a month.
All right, that's a good one.
Not that I would ever
do that. Then that's really not a resolution.
But I don't have a resolution, but every year... January 2nd, I'm like, all right, time to lose the holiday pounds I put on. And I don't have a plan. I just start losing weight.
Well, you know,
it's
what
kind
it
of
takes.
A resolution, but it's just a thought change.
Yeah, but if the way that we pig out during the holidays was from January through February, March 2nd, you would still say the same thing.
There'd be a date where I'd be like, okay, this has to end.
Yeah, so it's not like a New Year resolution. Yeah. It's just you've been a pig for 2 months.
Well, I just have an arbitrary date of January 2.
Why not?
Every year.
Why not the first one?
Why not January 1?
Yeah.
Because that's New Year's Day. You just want to eat some good shit, you know?
I just think that doesn't have anything to do with the calendar turning. It's just you've been a pig for 2 months.
Yeah, but you have to have some end date.
I hope so.
I think it's just happened. Yeah, it happens to be when the holidays fall that time of year. And if Christmas and Thanksgiving was in March, then I would be like, all right, I got to quit this in May.
Yeah, that's what it would be. Mm-hmm. And I like how you're like, all right, I just need to lose some weight. And every year I do. Like, yeah, because you didn't eat the same way you did in November and December.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's pretty simple. Just don't be an asshole.
I know, but I think most people nowadays know what a decent way to eat is and how they could do that.
I give a lot of credit to people. Maybe it's through Instagram. I don't know.
I just think there's so many resources. I think people know. They might not want to do it, and they might not admit it. And I think even if they know how to lose weight, they still do need a really effective plan on how to do so. But I think most people understand what that entails nowadays.
Not just not eating candy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody right now is like, I'm going to stop eating so much fat and that'll help me lose weight. I think people know better than that nowadays. Anybody under the age of 80.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Do you really think that?
Yeah, I think most people know now. The majority of people in America know that fat isn't bad for you.
Man,
I'm not saying they think that like a paleo or keto diet is necessarily the best route, but I think there's enough information out there now to know that people understand low fat dieting isn't great for your body and brain.
I don't know.
Now they might be still like, I got to watch my calories, and to do so, I need to watch the fat I eat and make sure I'm eating the right fats. And make sure those calories count, but I think most people know, like, eating avocado is good for you. Coconut products.
Yeah, but the people that... I don't know. I don't want to say I'm not giving people that much credit, because that's not what I mean. I don't think that we've done a good enough job, not you and I, but just the health industry, or those who are in the health industry, have done a good enough job of getting that out there to where that's what people think. Necessarily, and for most of those people, even if they are conscientious, educated, and interested in losing weight, I don't think they look at an avocado and think, oh, that's mostly fat.
Well, I think that,
or a coconut,
like, anybody, oh, that's really fat. Interested in losing weight, and let's say they have they get Men's Health or Women's Health, or they're online trying to get any information at all about dieting, that's the information they're going to find, is to eat healthy fats and that fat isn't bad. Yeah. So I think that people that are just not doing any research online or reading magazines or anything probably would come in with an old school, you know, I gotta go low fat, really low calories, I'm going to diet and not change my lifestyle of eating. I don't think there's a lot of those people.
Do you think there's any less people out there who are like, oh, I just have to exercise harder?
Oh, no, I think that people have a misunderstanding of how important exercise is with weight loss. I think most people think,
but
I do think that
same information's out there.
I do, yeah, but I don't think it's out there as much as the diet portion of it. I think that there's more.
Well, one should tell you, if there's that much diet information out there, how important the diet nutrition is to health.
But I think that's what the health experts understand that, and that's why that's what's being pushed more. I think that there's more conflicting evidence about how beneficial exercise is in weight loss than there is healthy fats, for example.
So experts are narrowing it down on the nutrition. They just haven't found a way to get it out there, the differences of exercise and how it plays a role.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Maybe. I think some do. Some are. I think there's enough experts out there that are saying, you know, the studies indicate that exercise helps with heart loss. It helps with heart health. It helps with...
Who's that heart, baby?
It helps
be
with...
Be a cold-blooded son of a bitch.
Building muscle, strength, ligament, joint, all these other benefits. Burning fat, it's not super effective. I think there are people out there that are stressing that, which seems to be the real fact, is that exercise has a very limited effect on actual body fat.
Yeah.
Body mass.
Maybe. I mean, I hope so. I mean, America is definitely getting skinnier. So... I'm sure you're right.
Speaking of skinny, last I heard, we're drinking whiskey from the only state that is under 30% obesity, Colorado.
What about Hawaii?
No, Colorado's the skinniest state.
Colorado's number one now?
It was a couple of years ago. Yeah, I haven't looked at the
statistics. Where was Hawaii, recently. Too?
I can't remember. It would have been up there.
Because I remember for a long time Hawaii was one and Colorado was two.
Yeah, Colorado was the only state under... Well, if you think of Hawaii, there's a lot of native Hawaiians that... have weight issues. So.
Yeah, but they were number one for a long time.
I don't know. Look it up real quick.
All right. This is production on the fly.
But a few years ago, Colorado was the only state under 30% obesity. And it was 28%, I think. And that was probably.
God, that's really high.
That might have been like 2016 that I last saw those studies and statistics.
Skinniest states, 2020. Oh, yeah. Colorado, Massachusetts, Utah, Hawaii, Montana.
So we have a lot in common.
That surprises me about Massachusetts a little bit.
Yeah. But we have a lot in common in those states, especially Colorado. What'd you say, Montana, Hawaii?
Utah. Massachusetts.
So other than Massachusetts, which I guess there's outdoor activity there, but those other states, a lot of outdoor activity, a lot of things to do outside. Whether it's the beach, mountains.
I think that you'll see that people move to Colorado, Utah, Hawaii, and Montana for a certain lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that is people, exactly. People that have a lot of energy to do those things and then enjoy that type of activity. Which is another thing of weight loss and exercise, right? Like, if you think about people who really like to do things like mountain bike and run, that are thin, you know, trail run, mountain bike, climb, hike, all these things. Are they thin because they do those things, or do they do those things because they have an abundance of energy because of their metabolism and their...
Because they are thin.
Yeah, that's what I think the studies would indicate that... Now, there's people that adapt, and they'll change their habits, and they'll start burning fat and get a joy out of those type of things, but that... lends itself to, I think, the idea that the reason Colorado's thin isn't just the native Coloradan people. It's
Colorado.
People moving to Colorado because they love that type of activity.
It's twofold, because there's obviously going to be truth to what you're saying, but part of it is that type of lifestyle lends to having a lower BMI, right? Like,
yeah,
I want to keep my weight down. I want to eat good so that I can ski. I want to keep my weight down. I want to eat good.
Part of it.
So that I have the ability to go run. And then those type of people.
But how many people do you know?
To eating better anyway. Processed. They're not going to McDonald's.
No, you're right. The people that have a natural lifestyle that like the mountains and like to hike and like to do those things. But how many people do you know, have we known growing up, that stay thin even in their 40s now and eat whatever they want?
Not a lot.
We know a few, though, because they just have a better metabolism. And they're really, really active. They're the ones that, you know, there's people that if you have a lower metabolism and have a tendency to gain weight easy, you're less likely to be active because of that.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a correlation there. I just don't think the correlation is as direct as sprinters are sprinters. Sprinters don't look like sprinters because they sprint as much as they look like sprinters because
of their genetics.
Because they're genetics. So yeah. I know the part
of because they sprint. Yeah. There's a combo.
But let's say that you're going to be a really good sprinter. You're probably already good at sprinting. Your body is already probably designed to do that, or you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You're proving my point.
Yeah, but I'm taking it to the next level. I think that just because somebody mountain bikes doesn't mean their body is built for mountain biking. Yeah, they could have better genetics so that they're not going to gain weight as such, but I also think if they're into mountain biking, they're just into clean living.
Yeah, but they would also be somebody that's genetically prone to enjoy that type of activity. A lot of people get on a mountain bike, it doesn't matter if you're in great shape, and they hate it.
I hate it.
Not yeah, there's things shape. I hate, even though I'm in good shape, and I could do other things effectively, but I don't want to run. I hate running.
Yeah, but you wouldn't mind sprinting.
And I don't mind sprinting, but my body's
built like
exactly.
A sprinter.
You're proving my point again.
Or two different things. We're talking about two different things. I know okay. It sounds like we're talking about the same different thing. We're talking about two different things. I'm saying that's a better example. Somebody who is a sprinter. Like if somebody came to you and said, "Hey, it sounds like you know quite a bit about nutrition. I want to be a long distance runner."
Yeah.
But they're female, they're 5 foot tall, they weigh 160. No matter what you do, and you're not a professional, but let's say that you're a professional, you could never get them to be that.
Not a world class.
Not a world. Distance forget runner. World class. Just
well, you might be able to get to the point of running, but yeah. they're probably never going to really like it.
But they look at people who are long distance runners, I want to look like that. Well, the reason that they're long distance runners is because they look like that.
Yeah.
They don't look like that because they're long distance runners. They're long distance runners because they look like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and people that hike look like they do because they're genetically prone to be able to hike for long distances. They don't look like they do because they're hiking necessarily.
Right.
It adds to, like a sprinter, if a sprinter sit around and ate McDonald's and everything all day, they would still have the genetics of a sprinter, but the body's not going to be like a world-class Olympic sprinter.
They're not going to perform.
But it wouldn't take much for them to just eat a certain way, unless change their diet, start sprinting more.
Marvin Harrison was a world-class wide receiver and ate McDonald's every day.
Yeah, there are people that could do it.
Yeah, but that's different. I know what you're saying.
It's like Sherpas.
I think there's less people who are into that healthy lifestyle just because of genetics, and more because that's just how they want to perform. We know two of them, George and Ashley. Their body's not supposed to do that, but they're getting ready to go to, not Everest, but some crazy place to hike. Man, they worked their asses off for years. Mm-hmm. Their genetics are not suited for that at all. But they just decided that they were going to change the behavior because they wanted to go do stuff.
But they're fighting against the grain.
Yeah, they are.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people that naturally are runners, that run a lot, there's always people that are going to fight harder, push against the grain, and be able to do something. You're never going to win the Olympics like that, but you could do it. If you're somebody that really likes the idea of being a mountain biker, you could do it. You could work yourself and do the right diet and everything to be able to get into being a mountain biker. Professionally, no, but just go out in the mountains and probably enjoy it. But people that from day one have the energy and ability to go hike for hours on end, mountain bike, everything else, they have different genetics. They burn calories differently.
Except for me, because I just don't want to do it, and I do.
Yeah, but you're doing it for fitness reasons.
Well, no, I have the genetics designed for everything that you just said, and I don't want to do it.
But you don't really, though, have the genetics for being a mountain biker.
Not a mountain biker, but somebody who can go hike for days.
Yeah, but
I do it during hunting season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I
okay, but you could go and hunt for days on end. So that's just a different of interest.
Yeah. I think that people still who are interested in that are mentally predisposed to eating better. That's my point. We're talking about the exact same thing. I just think it was a light comparison. I think they're better comparisons.
Maybe, but it's not a, for most of those people though that are living in Colorado now, 23 years old, getting up and going hikes, they're not typically purposely eating healthy to gain an edge on their hikes. A lot of them are eating pizza.
That's just they're predisposed. there's a correlation to I like grain, I like oats, I'm a hippie.
Yeah, there could. They could be pre-prepared to their body.
Even if on accident, just eat a little bit better than the average American.
Well, there for one thing, the more active you are, the more your body is going to send you signals as to what type of nutrients that you need to be effective. But I've known the bulk of the people I've known growing up that were super active were eating pizza and shit all the time, or go to Taco Bell, and they would still go do all these things, and they stayed thin all the time. And now eventually that probably catch up to you, but
yeah, I don't know who they are. I want to meet these people that I apparently know.
You know some of them.
Yes, I can't think of them.
I know a guy in Colorado that ate pizza all the time. I'd be around him, eat shitty food, and was super active. Yeah. He didn't eat healthy.
He ate pretty healthy.
Every time I was around him, he was eating pizza and stuff. And he was super active, could go nonstop. And is high energy.
Yeah, well, he needed the carbs.
Those guys are just high energy. Just from the naturally high energy.
Yeah.
Somebody that's overweight doesn't have that natural high energy. All right. God dang, man.
You lost your burn. What happened to it?
I dropped it. Look at it.
On purpose?
Yeah, I was worried it was going to fall on me again.
Look at it in all of its splendor. How does it feel to have peaked in high school?
I wouldn't know. For real.
Dude, I was thinking about this. We did our candy challenge, and everybody chose incorrectly. Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I went to call you right when we were setting up the bracket. You're like, why are you bugging me, nerd? I'm in a gun store. Did your dad get anything that day?
No. Yeah, we just went and looked at guns.
Is he going to go back and shoot?
I don't know. We're going to go out in the country and shoot some guns.
Was it a nice place? Like,
it was awesome.
Did they have a nice indoor range?
Dude, it was, Texas gun experience.
Texas Gun Emporium.
And it was off the hook. It was freaking awesome. You need to go check it out. It's in Grapevine, Texas.
Yeah, I know where it's at. I do need to.
Dude, it's awesome. Guns are awesome just to look at, and the range is awesome. Indoor range.
My dad would whip my ass if I bought a gun from a dealer, I think.
Well.
Yeah. But I can go shoot there.
You can take your guns and shoot there. I mean, it's cool, man. If you get a membership, there's gun safes there that you could keep your guns in to go and get to shoot. Nice. Yeah, so if you didn't want to haul your guns around, you could keep them there in the safe.
That's one place I would trust my guns to be safe.
Now, you should see this thing, man.
I trust them already.
But they have every machine gun you can think of. You can rent them and shoot them. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, I have a would you rather.
All right, before we do, would your dad buy a gun from a dealer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's bought lots of guns from dealers.
He doesn't mind his guns being tracked by the government?
No, I don't think he cares.
Huh.
And I think he likes the warranties associated and things like that, so.
He doesn't just fix it himself?
No. He probably would if he could, but if he's buying a, $2,000 rifle, I think he'd like a 10-year warranty that goes along with
one
it.
One that works and somebody who will make sure that it works with good.
He's definitely not one that's concerned about.
He's not concerned about it being tracked?
Nah.
Is that not just his confidence, I wonder, in our legal system, or that he's not a weirdo? Or
I think it's constant that that's nothing to be concerned about. If you're not going to go shoot somebody.
Yeah, no. All right. Whoa, simmer down. No, my dad didn't like his guns being tracked. Anytime that he could, he would buy it from a third party.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I'm sure my dad's bought a fair amount. No, I mean, actually, most of my guns I have, my dad bought for me, and we bought them all at a gun shop.
Yeah, but back in the day in Colorado, they weren't, registered to you at that point, probably.
Probably not. I don't know. Because I remember I bought guns recently. Cabela's, Bass Pro. Speaking of which, my dad, I forgot about this. When we were there, there was a I can't remember if it was a 450 or a 500 revolver we were looking at, and I totally forgot about this. So in high school, my dad bought this I think it was a 500.
Okay.
And it was gold plated. Dude, it was the coolest gun you've ever seen in your life. Gold plated.
Yeah, man.
And it got stolen.
In Albuquerque?
No, from their house.
In Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
It's before my dad bought this massive gun safe.
Yeah.
That's why he bought this gun safe.
The walk-in gun safe?
Yeah. I remember it getting stolen now, but it was gold-plated. It was silver. Dude, it was the coolest looking gun you've ever seen in your life. Like, you wouldn't shoot it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't shoot it. And I think my mom bought it for him. I can't remember. But I was looking at that 500, and he's like, you remember that one I had that got stolen? I'm like, oh, yeah, shit. I totally forgot about that.
God, what is that?
No telling how much that thing would be worth, man.
I'm conflicted on things like that because anything that I'm that happy about to have, I kind of want to display, not to show off, but because it makes me happy. And if you have to put it in a safe, I don't know. Maybe that's one of those things where you have a safe and you put it in a safe and you're going on vacation. But just day to day, you have it out in a case.
Yeah. I think you get joy getting it out and just cleaning it.
Cleaning it.
You know, polishing it.
Yeah.
And then there's some, like, he's got a beautiful muzzleloader that he shoots. But it's a really pretty gun.
Yeah.
Like, most people probably wouldn't shoot it, but he'll shoot that.
Was it an antique or is it new?
No, I mean, at this point, it's 30 years old. Oh, it's not an antique. It's just a really cool
gun. You're an antique.
Yeah.
All right. Would you rather?
All right. Now, follow along, people.
Does this taste sweet to you as we're getting into it?
I taste a distinct sweetness.
I wonder if it's the cigar kind of messing with the palate. Sorry, we're talking about the Stranahan.
Yeah, and the smell is totally different now, too.
It's almost starting to taste like a rye. Like a not spicy rye. Like a, kind of like that.
Yeah, it's got a
Sazamore.
It's got a real Sagamore.
Hmm.
Not the Sazerac.
Not the Sazerac. The Sagamore. Sagamore. I combined both companies.
Sazamore.
my brain does that.
Yeah, it's got a real, on the back end of the taste,
yeah,
really, really sweet. And the smell it now, too. Like, dude, it almost smells like honey.
Like butterscotch.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's because we're a little bit tipsy, because it tastes completely different to me now than when we first opened.
From the first couple tastes, for sure. Maybe it opened up like this.
Maybe.
Hit us up with notes if you know something about whiskey.
Notes for my nose.
So, all right, follow along because this might get complex.
These are my favorite would you rather, seriously.
So would you rather...
Go on.
You find out that your mom is not your mom.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Doing this?
Yeah. Your mom is not your mom, but your grandma, your mom's mom is your mom. Okay?
Okay.
And your dad is your real dad.
All right. This does get complicated.
Okay. So your dad's real dad, but your mom's not your mom. Your grandma is your real mom.
So my dad and my maternal grandmother had an affair. Let's not use the F word here.
Okay.
Got knocked up.
Yeah,
they had me.
And your dad dicked her down.
And then, like, well, this is embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
Instead of the embarrassment, so I'm just...
My your mom grandma carried like, you and your mom...
Is it usually the other way?
That's the other one. Or your dad's not your real dad. Your paternal grandpa is your real dad. And your mom is your real mom.
That's not the other one. That is not where I was going.
That's the opposite.
No, what I was going to say, isn't it usually that...
A sister?
You think that your grandma is your mom, but no, she's raising you for who you think is your sister. Now, that is completely different from where you went with that.
No. Okay.
You got twisted.
Well, this is the would you rather. Your dad isn't your real dad. Your paternal grandfather's your dad. Your mom's your real mom.
Wait, okay.
So your paternal grandfather dicked down your mom.
Dude.
And then your dad stepped up to the plate and raised you.
This got twisted.
It was twisted from the get-go. What are you talking about?
Well, all right. Let me just retrack it one more time. So my mom is not my mom because my mom's mom is.
Yeah.
Same dad.
Same dad. Your dad
or
had sex with your mom.
My dad is not my dad. Because my dad's dad is same mom.
Yes.
So either
your dad fucked your grandma, your mom's mom, or your mom fucked
my mom.
Your mom. Yeah, your grandpa, your dad's dad fucked your mom.
Oh, God. I don't even want to answer because then it's like you're trying to choose one side of the family versus the other.
Well, I put it in this context. Which one is your real parent is kind of not even relevant at this point, right? Because a lot of people will be like, I don't want to find out my dad's not my real dad. Really, what's worse?
Is it worse? What's worse? You're not choosing what's better.
Yeah, is it worse for your mom to bone your grandpa, your dad's dad, or your dad to bone your grandma?
My grandma was a fox. I can't blame him.
you twisted it.
Shit, man. I don't know. You go first.
I'd rather my grandpa bone my mom. So I'd rather my dad not be my real dad.
Instead your brother?
He's my brother.
He's your brother.
He's my brother. And he raised me
as his own,
but he's my brother. Yep.
I'm going to go with you, and not because you said that, but because it's more appealing for my dad to be my brother than
my mom to be
my sister.
Oh, so it's not which is creepier of the bonings?
It's all creepy. There's not one which is more creepy than the other. They are equally, totally, and utterly creepy.
Yeah.
But at least my dad's my brother. I don't know. That's horrible. That was the worst one ever.
That's why it's good.
I choose the first one. Wait, no. I choose the one where my dad is my brother. My paternal grandfather boned my mom.
Yeah.
That's the one I choose.
Okay.
Go get some.
Man. I would hate to find that information out, partially too, because I would be like, there's something wrong with me. My dad was old.
Yeah, his sperm wasn't quite right.
Yeah, because, I mean, your grandpa would have been in his 60s.
Yeah, if we're staying true to ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been in his 60s. Yep.
See, at least my grandpa would have just been in his 40s.
God damn, how young were your grandparents and parents spitting them out?
Young.
That's what it tells you. Young.
Well, my dad's mom and dad got married. My grandma was 15.
Okay.
And my grandpa was like 17. I don't know what age they had my dad, but my mom and dad had me when they were 26.
Which isn't even that young. Really.
So, I mean, at the most, my grandpa would have been, I think, like late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah. That works. When
I was born, yeah.
It's like me having one now.
Basically, yeah.
Except for all the estrogen I'm pumping
through. Yeah, except for he wasn't drinking this much whiskey.
Would you rather be stuck on an island alone Would you rather be stuck on an island alone?
Yeah.
Just you, bro. Or with somebody who never stops fucking talking. That you don't know. It's not like me where I never stop talking, but you're apparently and obviously fine with that.
Just some random dickhead that won't shut up?
Just won't shut up.
Is it just a random island? Like a Pacific island or somewhere like a...
Yeah, you're Tom Hanks, but instead of volleyball, it's a dude that just won't shut up.
Dude, I'm with that guy, and I'm killing him and using his body for meat.
Using his body.
I'm using his resources.
Yeah. It was a last-ditch scenario.
If I can't kill him, I would rather be alone for sure, 100%.
You can kill him.
Because I'm going to have to keep this guy alive.
Yeah.
Chances are, whoever it is isn't going to have the survival skills that I have. So they're going to... I'm going to have to find food for this guy. I'm going to have to... He's going to be leaning heavily on me for everything and talking the whole time. I'd rather be by myself.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I'm going to... Speaking of which, do you want to talk more about that? Because I
was just going to say, it's funny. When I first thought about this, I would have chose to be alone. But if I was going to be with somebody, at least somebody that can help me with resources, maybe escape.
Yeah.
And your first mindset was like, no, this dude's going to slow me down. I'm killing him.
Chances are, if it's a random person, they're not going to know very much about survival skills. If it's Bear Grylls... Yeah, I'll take him.
But he never stops talking?
I'll take him.
All right, what were you
We'll be eating well every night. That just made me think. I just started reading this new book yesterday. I want to pull it up because I can't remember the name of the book. But it's about the... you know that 1972 Uruguay soccer team? They crashed in the Andes and they resort to eating the dead bodies.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a new book written by one of the survivors that's been out within the last few years. And I just started reading it yesterday, and it is freaking awesome.
Really?
He just got to the part where they've started eating people.
What was the name of that movie?
Alive was the name of the movie. Yeah, it had Ethan Hawke. Came out in the early 90s.
When Ethan Hawke was a thing.
Ethan Hawke was a big deal. And it's he has like some super South American name in the movie. Ethan Hawke did.
Did he?
Yeah. And this guy, they talk about character? That character. No, but this guy talked, you know, this character, they're real people.
Yeah.
And they made the movie pretty factual based on everything that's happened here, but it's been crazy, like talking about the crash, what he felt, what it looked like. Part of the plane just fell apart. Part was, you know, quarter mile away.
Yeah.
Rest hit, dead people everywhere. Somebody walking around with a... Damn. He talked about some guy that had a pole. He just, like, you know, imagine just the scene of...
chaos.
Screaming, blood, gas, fires. Some guy walking around with a pole through his stomach.
Ugh.
And he talked about them. And he talked about later, the same guy, he... They pulled... There was two medical students on there that were in their first year of med school.
God, I don't remember that from the movie.
And they both survived. So shit. They're just, like, set up this triage. They're pulling dead bodies out because the remainder of the plane is so small, they all couldn't even fit in there. So they're pulling out the dead bodies. Yeah. One guy, they're like, basically they're treating people, keeping them inside, the ones that had the best chance of living. There's one guy that had a severe concussion, very small chance of living. They put him out basically in the ice. Dude ended up living.
Shit.
The ice made him survive because the ice... His head on the ice reduced the swelling. So they're sitting there, you know, thinking he's dying. A day, like literally a day or two later, he all of a sudden just gets up, starts walking around.
What's up,
normal? Yeah, normal.
What happened?
Survives through the whole thing. And I know this
he
because
he made it till the end?
A few of these dudes. The dude that had the pole through his stomach, they pulled the pole out. When they pulled it out, some of his intestines came out with the pole.
They
stuffed him back in, wrapped him up. He went and started helping other people. He's one of the dudes that hiked out to help rescue him.
What kind of badass is this?
Dude, right?
That's who I want writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we need to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, for real, man.
Just Google pull guy.
Yeah.
Pull through stomach guy from the
Andes. Through the stomach. They pull it out. Intestines come out.
What the fuck?
And they just stuff him back in. And the dude, he said he was watching when they pulled the pole out. The intestines come and he was like, the guy's dead.
Yeah.
He had this moment of panic. The guy didn't even seem to do anything. They stuffed the bag in, wrapped him up, and they said he...
Stuffed the intestines back in?
Stuffed him back into his body.
God.
Wrapped him up with some old clothes and stuff. And he said the guy got up and was walking around like he had just...
That moment.
Got up. Like, he was already aware. The pole was in his stomach. You know, those scenarios, you're not supposed to remove whatever's impaling you.
Yeah, until you go to the ER. Not forever.
I mean, this time it was days already. The guy's still been alive, slowly bleeding out. They pull it out. Intestines come with it. Stuff it back in with their hand. Wrap him up. Guy gets right up. This guy said he got up like he had just, fallen and scraped his knee and went and started helping other people and was doing work.
That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. God, the things the human body are capable of.
Yep.
Tell me, was that pretty quick or later that they pulled the pole out? You said he went a few days with the pole in?
It was a couple days or at least one full day with the... overnight with the pole stuck in his body. Because they thought when they first crashed, everybody's like, the rescue people will be here tonight.
Tonight.
If not, tomorrow morning. Tonight. You know, tomorrow morning. They realized, the next day, we got to get this thing out. He's definitely not going to live. So they pulled it out.
God.
And he didn't go into a lot of detail about how or what this conversation was, but they pulled it out. And then, they went like day three, four. People finally, the snow was so deep, they started going in the snow, go up to their waist immediately, the soft snow. No winter clothes.
Right.
So they're packing on like whatever they happen to have, three or four layers of different clothes. A couple people became the official people that were basically the ones hiking up trying to see where they're at. Like, if we get over this peak, how close are we to Chile?
Yeah.
That type of thing. Where are we? Because they didn't really know the pilot died. So they got up, a couple people hiked up where they said they got to the point where they looked like specks. You could hardly see them. The plane was white. They got back down. They said, nobody's going to ever be able to see us. You can't see the plane.
Oh, that is fucking disappointing.
It blends in entirely. So we're going to have to get out of here to be able to survive. So it was like day six. This author started thinking, he had this thing that was kind of interesting. He's like, I'm looking around like, what can I eat? You know, there's paper, cardboard, metal, leather. Leather's made from an animal. Can I eat the leather? He's like, no, it has additives in it, all these things. I couldn't digest it. It might make us sick. You know, and again, leather, wool. Wool comes from an animal. Can I eat it? No, though, I can't digest the wool. There's a finger sticking out of the snow over there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could eat that. So day six and day seven, finally somebody's like, we're going to have to eat the people.
Somebody said it?
Yeah.
Do you think it was like it took one person like
one person and he
I know
said
we haven't been talking about this.
And that, then he was like, okay, I'm not a nut job, first off, for even thinking this. Because his mind kept going back, we're going to have to eat these bodies.
Yeah.
Day seven. They had a big debate. Half the people were like, no, we can't do that. The other half were like, we have to survive. By day 10, they all were eating the...
Bodies. Yeah, those holdouts.
They'd go slice like, off strips of it. They had no fire or anything, so they would leave it out in the sun to dry, and then they would eat it.
God, that's terrible. I mean, it's terrible, but you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And those people who perished wouldn't even be mad at you. Like, we talked about this on this podcast. Eat me, bro.
Do whatever. Yeah, and that was part of the cover. They were like, let's have an honest discussion. If I die, or if you die, would you want me to eat your body to survive? Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat my body. And they all agreed with
that. They talked about it? Okay.
So then it's like, those people would feel the same way.
You can't trust any of those motherfuckers. You can't trust any of those hungry-ass, starving-ass motherfuckers at that point.
But both of us would.
We would, but now we're sitting here comfortable, warm, not starving. Trust us. But if we're out in the tundra, having never contemplated it before, that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't trust them. Like, yeah, of course you say, yeah, I would. Well, yeah, it's because you're starving, motherfucker, and you want to eat Joe's. And
yeah.
It's no different than, like, an organ donor. Like, we have all agreed, those of us who are organ donors, to, I mean, ultimately, that's the same thing, right? Like,
yeah, I don't
take a piece of me and
I wouldn't, ethically, I wouldn't think twice about it.
Wouldn't think twice
it would
about
be kind of gross.
Be gross.
And that's why he said some people, like, he just took it and just kind of downed it. And some people were putting it in snow, packing it in snow, and just, so they didn't even, just swallowed it. So they didn't even really know what they...
human snow cone.
Yeah, what they were eating. But I just got to that part. I'm like 20% deep.
How does this sound so much better than the movie?
Dude, it's awesome. This book is awesome. I need to remember what it's called.
Okay. Look it up real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up real quick.
People are going to want to know. I mean, I guess we could put it in the notes, but people are going to want to know.
All right, I'll look it up.
Dude, it's amazing how...
Hold on, give me a second to look this up. All right, the name of the... It's Out of the Silence.
Okay.
After the Crash. So it's called Out of the Silence. It's awesome.
Now I want
so
to,
far.
Now I want to see it.
You want? Yeah, they'll
how
make
many,
a movie out of it.
How many people were in the crash? Ish.
Oh, man. I want to say like 40. There might have been more than that. Or maybe there were maybe 40 initial survivors, and then it... I mean... dwindles down drastically from there
day by day.
So I want to say at this point there's like 10 survivors.
Right.
So a lot of bodies
out
to
of
eat.
Out of the Silence. Mm-hmm. After the Crash.
Yep.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, out of the Silence. After this, god dang it, out of the silence.
Okay.
It's basically that title. This guy hasn't really talked about everything that happened. He's kind of just kept it buried. I mean, I think he's talked to it to people, but he hasn't been one of the ones that have wrote books or went on tours or, you know.
Yeah.
So this was something he just did.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I'm sorry, not to do a hard switch. That just made me think of just the way that things changes. Like, right, for everyone to talk about it, now he does. We're going to be flying pretty soon, and I was thinking about, oh, I don't want to deal with TSA. It's been so nice not having to deal with it lately. And then I started thinking about, God, TSA is pretty strong byproduct of 9/11. TSA didn't exist before that, but obviously you know what I mean.
Pretty much every, yeah.
What's
going to
be a byproduct of COVID?
Well, a lot of people are saying the shaking hands, right?
Did we talk about that? Yeah, we talked about that. We definitely talked about that.
Yeah, I think people will start shaking hands again.
So do I, ultimately. Do you think that people are going to be wearing masks?
Yeah.
For a long, long time.
I think I could see it similar to...
Japan.
Japan, like, periods of time people wear a mask. And one interesting thing, like, Japan, most people probably know this, but when a Japanese person typically is wearing a mask, it's because they're sick.
Yeah. So they've got a cold, and they're
so they're not just wearing it around.
Pass it around.
Because I think most people have a misconception that they're everybody there is just kind of wearing a mask to avoid getting sick.
Maybe they do.
So I think somebody, if they're ill, a cold, or isn't, and have a mask on, it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, I'm okay
with
that.
I don't really advocate for that. I'm not like they should.
Yeah.
But whatever. I could see that being a byproduct from this.
It's funny. Obviously, I've been to Japan a lot, and when I was in Japan, I used to kind of respect it, like, you know, all right, you're coming out with a cold, you're still going to work, which means that you're not a pussy.
Yeah,
but yet you're not trying to get the whole office sick. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, fair enough, good for you.
Makes sense.
And it's funny, before COVID, I've thought that. I'm like, you know, we always, like, during flu season or whatever, if you have a sniffle, wear a mask. Wear a mask. And then you have no excuse for not coming. And then you're being respectful of everybody around you who doesn't want to have to deal with for 5 days of having the fucking flu. So I'm down with that being a thing if it sticks.
Yeah, I guess I think you have to look at what side effects that could have, what negative effects something like that might have.
Well, are you just talking about how, like, we have to have a herd immunity?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but exactly. I mean, I already basically have immunity to the flu, right? But that doesn't mean that I need to get
it. Yeah, that doesn't mean our kids will.
Yeah, damn it.
And I don't know enough about germs or to really, but it does just seem like that the more something's getting passed around and the more somebody's exposed to something, the more immunity you're going to build from it.
It does. I mean, you hear doctors in the late 2000s, you know, prior to 2010, being like, you know, we're overusing antibacterial soap.
For sure.
Especially with our kids. Let them get in the dirt.
Kids are too clean.
Kids are too clean.
Yeah. And they are building. They're not building immunities as a lot of these things. Exactly.
So maybe I'm just thinking it as of, I don't need the flu this year. And if you're sitting next to me on a subway or on an airplane, yeah, wear your mask. I appreciate it. And vice versa. Like, I wouldn't mind doing that for somebody else. Like,
well, maybe in the workplace, it's a smart thing to do. If you're on a subway, it's a smart thing to do. But maybe, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, let your kids catch it.
Yeah,
you're at home. Your kids are going to get it anyway because the kids are, you're around your kids. You're going to be eating all these things. It's kind of like COVID. Yeah. You really live with somebody and you're in these environments, everybody's catching it, right?
Right.
You kind of allow it with the flu, and the kids usually get so sick with the flu, they're not going to school. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, a kid shouldn't go to school with the flu or something that's highly contagious, even with a mask on.
Or while it's contagious and they're just carriers.
Yeah.
Right? No, I think there's a way to get herd immunity and still have people.
Yeah, so it could do it. The problem would be is if what this made people do is, when I have the flu, I am completely separating myself from all of society. Yeah. Kind of like COVID.
Yeah.
I don't want my kids to get this, where it's kind of like the kid needs to catch the cold.
Yeah.
They need to get some of the, you know, build immunity to some of these things. So there's a balance. But yeah, I think now it's like, if you have the flu, stay home. A lot of people don't. But maybe the right answer is you got to keep working. Everybody needs to work and get the paycheck. Keep a mask on. Let people around you know what's happening and keep distance. And if there's a job you can't do that, then you do need to just stay home. I don't know.
I don't know if that's a thing that sticks, but I think that out of all of the things that have changed, that's one of the things that is most likely to stick. That was the only thing that I had in my mind.
I feel like there'll be a lot of dipshits doing it unnecessarily.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You know, not in Texas, but...
masks. So 9/11 brought us greater airport security. They brought us greater stadium security, greatest concert security. COVID.
I don't know if COVID, you know, things you could look at is like reduced capacity of things. I don't think that's going to stick.
That's not going to stick.
The NFL's not going to have a limited capacity in these stadiums as soon as we're capable of it.
Nope. That might be the only thing.
I wonder, you know, the one thing I wonder is if they could use this virus as an example to build, to start creating vaccines for any potential strands or things that are similar. You know what I mean? Like, they built this vaccine for this. They have to have kind of a building block of what this type of virus is like, even if it was different. Even if there's a different type of virus, maybe there's ways and protocols.
Well, there's already different types of COVID. Do they have different types of antibodies for the different?
I don't know, and I don't know these other types of COVIDs, if they built what type of vaccines have been made for them. They haven't been near as deadly. There hasn't been, you know what I mean? Whatever these other viruses have been, maybe there hasn't been a necessity for... I've never had a COVID vaccine.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, even since COVID-19, the way that we know it, starting in February and March, there's already another strand of it out there.
Yeah.
And this vaccine that we're getting ready to take is only going to cover one strand, not the strand, not the additional strand that we already think exists.
Yeah,
but I think the only way that that happens is if it's a government ran thing, because businesses aren't going to be incentivized. I mean, maybe they're incentivized to do it so that they have it on the shelf to sell. Well, it
could be. I think that's something I wouldn't mind with having some type of government. Not the government doing it necessarily, but that's something I wouldn't mind the government investing some amount of money in. Is because, okay, there is another strand hitting. This isn't effective on that strand, but they're already part of the way there. There's no way that it is going to take as long to come up with another vaccine, because I think that once you have an understanding of how this thing operates.
Should have a biologist on. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. But
I mean, you know, swine flu, was that something that was predictable? Or the Spanish flu? And what I mean by predictable, is that something that you could have had a vaccine started on just as...
Well, not the Spanish flu. I mean, that was 100 years ago.
Forget about the time. I'm just thinking of major pandemics that, you know, okay, we could have been somewhat prepared for if what you suggested people had, whether it's the government or independent businesses, were ahead of the game. I don't know enough about
Well, I think they need to be, and I think they can be. I think, how many people now, I've heard it a lot. A lot of people are saying, we don't need to worry after this. Nothing like this is going to happen again for 100 years.
That's just because
every 100 years
history
of history. It's a really dumb way to think of it. And why would there not be another thing? Yeah. Especially if this is created in a lab.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I agree with you. Instantly, I thought I was getting ready to argue with you, but we're on the same page.
Yeah. Who knows? Why wouldn't this happen in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case is? There's no 100. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just some number thrown out just because it happened to be the Spanish flu. There's been a lot of things between then and now.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things 100 years. You know what I mean? That's just a silly. But people are, I mean, politicians are steadfast in that. This won't happen for 100 years again. So we don't need to worry. Oh, yeah. God. We don't need to worry about it. Like, I think we should worry about it.
I think we should.
So maybe that's a change in mentality where people have been kind of resting back on their haunches. And now this has happened, maybe there will be a lot of more proactivity.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I need to do more research to have a biologist. I don't know how you can plan for something that you don't know.
I don't know either, but it just...
And if you're depending on the government to do it, that's fine for somebody's term. And then somebody else takes over office or seat or whatever the case is, and that's no longer their priority. And we, as the voters, as civilization, as the populace, we move on quickly. Like, yeah, this will be hot in our minds for 4 years.
No, you're right about
5 years from now, whoof, gone. Like, you're spending money on vaccines that even
they're spending so much money on other shit that we don't know about, and that just keeps on getting spent.
With taxes, right? Like, we're spending money on everything, and I don't want to pay a lot of taxes, not because I don't want to do my fair share, because I think that most of the shit that my taxes are spent on is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course it is, yeah.
If you had a form, like, all right, and you know, let's say that, I don't know, what's Colorado state tax? 10-ish%?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they raised it, I think.
Well, let's just call it 10%. Like, we're going to go from 10% to 15%. But for this 5%, you get to choose the spaces it goes.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E. I'd be a lot more willing to vote for that, right?
Yeah, there was a clear understanding of where the money was going precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, most tax money is going towards garbage. There's no doubt about it. Garbage. I mean, look at this latest bill, both sides. Just bullshit, man. Republican, which, Democrat, they're all, they use these opportunities to just push, you know, somebody that donated money to them.
Earmark it.
Yeah. I mean, that needs to end. That's what needs to end, is all that type of bullshit.
Yeah.
Like the things that, what I would want to take, not from coronavirus, but kind of the response to it, how some of politicians responded, the ineptitude of politicians in general, like term limits need to be put into place.
Yeah,
those are things that we need to fight for.
Too bad it's them who make that.
Dude, it's them that make it. They're the ones giving themselves raises.
Yeah. That kills me.
What kind of garbage is that when they vote on whether or not they're getting their own raise?
And what's funny about both sides earmarking certain things for this is I don't think that America has ever been more hyper aware than they are now. And they're just so set in their ways, they're still trying to do it.
Still trying to do it.
Like the Democrats, the reason, like the Republicans never saw the Democrats, because the Democrats wanted to send X amount overseas, right? And then the Democrats didn't want to do it because the Republicans, once they earmarked it to something else.
It's a shitload of like, stuff on
that's usually a shitload of fraud. Stuff on what? On fraud.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, a lot of stuff nobody's really paying attention to get under the radar. Motherfuckers, you don't think everybody's paying attention
to that? That's
how
arrogant they are. That's how arrogant they are.
And how entrenched in their ways doing business how business is always done.
Yeah.
We're watching, motherfuckers. For the first time, the entire nation is watching. And you're still fucking around.
There's a few. I mean, there's only a few politicians that are...
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, they're all pulling bullshit. And there's a few politicians out there nonstop speaking out about it on both sides. Those are the only ones that I feel like we could trust.
Well, either that or they're trying to save their seats, which is fair. They should all be scared about losing their seats. And even if only losing their seat is their motivation to do what's right, I don't care why they're doing it as long as it's happening.
Dan Crenshaw, Tulsi Gabbard, 2024.
It's quite a ticket. You think you get both sides feeling pretty good about that?
No, I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Especially poor Tulsi Gabbard, man. Her own party won't support her.
I know.
I'm sure Dan Crenshaw will do all right, but...
Man, time will tell. Well, this whiskey was pretty good.
It was... Oh, yeah.
I didn't look up the price. It's
$40, I think.
Okay.
40, low 40s. 40, 42.
And I don't think you can find it here.
I looked it up right before we started. I saw some Stranahan's the other day, but it was way more expensive.
Yeah,
it wasn't this bottle.
Probably, yeah. They have more above. I think this is their baseline model.
Come on, Don.
I know. No, I didn't mean
come
like
on,
that.
Bro.
I thought you were going to say, "Come on, Matt, get your shit together. What's the next level?" Which I knew when we started this podcast, and now my whiskey brain, how my whiskey philosophy has forgotten.
It's a good bottle. If I'm going to spend $40, I'm going for bourbon. At that price point.
Yeah, is that just a preference?
It's a preference. 100% preference. I think for being a whiskey, yeah, let me see this.
Single malt. What, 80 proof? Yeah, 80 proof.
I'm trying to see
maybe 80,
like aging proof and stuff on this.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't even know if they put that because they're constantly mixing different aged.
Yeah, it's
versions.
86 proof. Yeah. It goes down smooth.
It is super smooth for an 86.
I would drink the heck out of this. I just think if I was going to put $40 down, personally, I would stick with bourbon. But if you really like just single malt whiskey, it's a good value.
What if it was $28 bottle?
For sure.
Kind of like
I would have a bottle all the time.
Yeah.
It's like a bottle that, at that price point, if you could find a good price on it, you should always have it in your liquor cabinet.
I think that everybody should have it in their liquor cabinet because it's not that expensive. It's a cool bottle. I like the blue with the Rocky Mountain Aspen Peak in the background. I like, you can't tell in our post, is the bottle is, what would you call that? It's not round.
It's got a flat back to it.
It's
got a flat back.
It's an
interesting bottle.
And
I think it would
just look good on your shelf. And when you're coming over and you have your whiskey snobs, be like, dude, take a sniff of this Colorado whiskey.
If you're all about whiskey, you'll like it.
Yeah, you should have
it. And I like it, too. This is good. It's been a good, smooth drink.
They need to get their fucking social media game together. So
for $40, I'm getting some Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, for $40, I'm getting a 32 bottle of dollar Buffalo Traces. And spending $8 on this cigar.
Speaking of that, I do have to point out the bottle we sent. I haven't told you this. The bottle that we sent out to the person that won our... I don't want to throw his name out on...
You don't?
The
you
podcast.
Whistling Whiskey.
I don't want to say his real name.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably on there. But anyway, the bottle broke. He got it arrived busted.
Oh, the Woodford Reserve.
Yep. He said it's the best smelling box you've ever smelled.
But it
was busted. He sent a pic, man. It was insured. Like, that's fine. It just makes me so sad that whiskey
sad
just went
for
to
him,
waste.
Man. He comes.
Well, I bought him a gift card.
Okay.
To Total Wine and just sent
it
to him.
Well, that way, so if he doesn't love Woodford, he can
I said, hey, man,
really
get
likes.
What you want. I don't feel like you're locked into the Woodford, but.
Oh, man, that's good Kentucky bourbon, man.
Yeah, that's wasted. The worst part. I just felt so sad seeing that busted bottle.
Dude, I packed that box good.
Dude, it looked like they played football with that bottle, ran it over.
Thanks, U.S.
I mean, with that box.
Postal Service. I wonder if they dropped something on it.
It was roughed up, man.
Oh, that's a bummer. Well, I'm sorry, Whistling Whiskey. Gosh dang, that's a bummer, man. Well, Josh has made it right.
As I always do. All right, you ready to cut this sucker off or what?
Yeah, man. Go get your Colorado whiskey for your bar because it looks cool.
It does. It's a nice bottle. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Donald?
Thanks, brother.
Is it Donald?
It is.
Donald. Thank you, Donald.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Brother.
And we'll be back next week with just us, right?
Yeah. Just us.
Just the two of us.
All right. Until then, man. Cheers.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
Peace, bitches.